بسم الله بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. How's everybody doing? الحمد لله. So today, inshallah ta'ala, sorry about this. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we're taking a look at the eighth evidence, which is called شَرْعُ مَنْ قَبْلَنَا, or the law of the people before us. What is this a reference to? Well, let's take a look at the definition and types of rulings from past nations. So these past nations, we know Musa alayhi salam had his own sharia and so forth. Different prophets had different, laws. And so Allah ta'ala, we have to understand what is our perspective regarding their sharia, the laws of past nations. So the law of previous nations, this linguistic definition, or the definition of it, is what? This includes any laws revealed to nations before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Pretty straightforward. And there are two categories. This falls into two categories. What are they? The laws that aren't mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah. Okay? And what do we do with those that are not mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah? We do not consider them in terms of law. This includes what remains of the revealed texts in the Bible. So the Torah was originally to Musa alayhi salam, but obviously we don't trust everything in it today. But there are still remnants of it that could be true, but it's not considered, a evidence, especially when deriving law. Same thing with Az-Zabur. Az-Zabur is the Psalms in English. And the Injil is, of course, Isa alayhi salam, the Gospel. And of course, we don't have the actual Gospel of Isa. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Gospels of disciples, but not actually him. These texts aren't authoritative in Islamic law. Now, to be clear, I want to mention, there's nothing wrong with citing them. If, let's say, for example, just a simple example off the top of my head, we know that pork khinzir is haram, right? There's nothing wrong with pointing to the Old Testament and saying, hey, look, it's also there too, right? Oh, it seems like a consistency, right? Alhamdulillah, that's nice. But that's not using it as evidence. You're pointing to the idea and you're demonstrating that it seems that this was authentically preserved. We can't say that 100%, but we can say that it definitely seems that way, even though we can't use it as an authority. It's not like a hujjah when you're deriving fiqh, but it's just a nice, you could say, historical fact that it's in line. So I hope that's clear. And now there are the laws that are mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah about the nations before us. They fall into three categories, and that's what we're going to be taking a look at, these three different categories. So the laws of previous nations mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah, the three categories are, number one, laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirmed for the previous nations, but He abrogated them for us. So Allah ta'ala specified this was for the people before and not for you. Let's take a look at some examples. When it comes to meat, Allah ta'ala mentions, made their meat laws strict as a punishment for them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned that He permitted more meats for us. This is actually explicitly mentioned in these two ayat. Allah ta'ala mentions, and to those who are Jews, we prohibited every animal of uncloven hoof, and of the cattle and the sheep, we prohibited them their fat, except what adheres to the backs or the entrails or what is joined with the bone. By that we repaid them for their injustice. Allah Ta'ala is clarifying, ذَلِكَ جَزَيْنَاهُمْ بِبَغْيِهِمْ. This is because of their injustice, Allah Ta'ala gave them stricter laws. Whereas, in the ayah right before it, Allah Ta'ala mentions what? قُلْ لَا أَجِدُ فِي مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ مُحَرَّمًا عَلَىٰ طَعَامٍ. That Allah says, say, I do not find within that which was revealed to me anything forbidden to one who would eat it, unless it be, number one, dead animal, number two, blood spilled out, number three, the flesh of swine, for indeed it is impure, and number four, or it be the slaughter in disobedience dedicated to other than Allah. So you can see here that Allah Ta'ala is saying, it was harder for them, it's easier for you. So with regards to this, obviously we do not take that sharia, because Allah is clarifying the difference. So I hope that's clear. There are other examples of this. Number one, same one. Number one is laws that Allah Ta'ala confirmed in the previous nations, but He abrogated them for us, which is the spoils of war. The Prophet says, وَعْطِيْتُ خَمْسًا لَمْ يُعْطَهُنَّ أَحَدٌ قَبْلِي. That I have been given five things which were not granted to anybody before me. Number one, every prophet was sent to a particular, sent particularly to his own people, whereas I have been sent to all the red and the black. And by the way, the term red and black here is a reference to like light skin, dark skin, white people, black people. That's the way they said it in Arabic at that time. They would say red and black. That's kind of, you could say, the spectrum of different nations. Number two is what? وَأُحِلَّتْ لِيَ الْغَنَائِمُ وَلَمْ تُحَلَّ لِأَحَدٍ قَبْلِي. Specific. That the spoils of war have been made lawful for me, and these were never made lawful for anybody before me. So this is now a difference. So it was haram for them to take spoils of war. Now in our deen, it's being specified. That's what they had. We are different. Point number three is the earth was made good and pure and a masjid for me. So when the prayer time comes for any one of you, he should pray wherever he is. Number five is I have been supported by awe, or you can say how fear, or you know this sense of the fear that they have. Or al-ru'ab is the word used. I've been supported by this al-ru'ab, this fear in the hearts, from the distance of that it takes 1 month to cover. This is a gift that Allah Ta'ala gave the Prophet ﷺ to strike fear in the hearts of the enemies. And then number five is I've been granted intercession. So what we're focusing on is just the fact that previous nations, it was haram for them to take a ghanaim, the spoils of war. But for the Muslims, it is not. And again, still on the same topic of the ones that were clarified in Quran and Sunnah, but then abrogated. Another example of this is the death sentence for the sake of Tawbah for worshiping the golden calf. In other words, when Bani Israel, they worship the golden calf, Allah Ta'ala mentioned this. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ يَا قَوْمِ إِنَّكُمْ ظَلَمْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ بِاتِّخَاذِكُمُ الْعِجْلِ فَتُوبُوا إِلَى بَارِئِكُمْ فَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Allah says, and recall when Moses said to his people, O my people, indeed you have wronged yourselves by your taking of the calf as worship. So repent to your creator and kill yourselves. So what does that mean? That means that they had to actually die and slaughter one another in order for their tawbah to be accepted. This is something from previous nations that was established that we do not practice. Alhamdulillah, we can make tawbah by repenting to Allah Ta'ala, but obviously, you can understand the logic here. I mean, they were given such incredible miracles to save them from Fir'aun. You can imagine, you know, seeing the water split and physically walking through it yourself, and then you attribute worship to Allah, to Allah Ta'ala. You can imagine, okay, it's going to require such a big gift, such a big saving, such an incredible miracle, and you still disobey. Well, it seems like it's going to be such a big crime. And this is confirmed in the Bible. And again, using the Bible is not haram. To just notice what the Bible says. It would be wrong if I use this as an evidence that somehow proves something. No, but the proof is in the Quran, but it's just interesting extra information. The Bible confirms, it says in Exodus 32, 27 to 28, then Moses said to them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel says, each man strap a sword to his side, go back and forth through the camp from one end to the other, each killing his brother and friend and neighbor. The Levites did as Moses commanded, and that day about 3,000 of the people died. So they just went through and slaughtered those who essentially worshiped the calf. And still on the same topic of what was confirmed in the Quran and Sunnah and then abrogated in the same Quran and Sunnah by the Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is cutting off their clothes that had impurities or najasa instead of washing it. Us, alhamdulillah, we know it's part of our deen. You don't really say you're holding your kid and their diaper leaks or whatever the case is, and you get some sort of filth on your clothes, you wash it, no problem. Whereas Abu Wa'il, رضي عنه, he says, كان أبو موسى الأشعري يشدد في البول ويقول إن بني إسرائيل كان إذا أصاب ثوب أحدهم قرضه. That Abu Musa al-Ash'ari used to lay great stress on the question of urine, and he used to say, what? If anyone from Bani Israel happened to soil his clothes with urine, they used to cut that portion away. So this was the extent that they had in their sharia. If your clothes get dirty, just cut it off. Whereas us, alhamdulillah, we have the ability to wash. So that's all very clear, I hope, that this is clear from Quran and Sunnah, that this was the laws from before, but they have been abrogated. There's another category, another clear one, which is what? Laws, number two, laws that Allah Ta'ala confirmed for the previous nations and affirmed for us as well. Right, so it's affirmed for both. Allah Ta'ala says, and this is very relevant to us, we're going to be, inshallah, entering the month of Ramadan, bi-idhnillah, soon. Allah says, بَعْدَ عَبْشُ رَجِيمٌ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O you who have believed, decreed upon you is fasting as it was decreed upon those before you, that you may become righteous. So the affirmation that people, whether it be at the time of Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, maybe even all the way back to Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, whatever the case may be, in past nations, maybe all of them, past nations used to fast, we have to do it as well. So obviously we're copying them in that. Allah Ta'ala is affirming for both of us. So these two categories seem pretty straightforward, right? Category number one, confirmed in the Quran and Sunnah, they used to practice something, but confirmed also that we don't. Clear. Category two, confirmed that they in past nations did something and we are following in that. Good, clear. What about category number three? This is where things get interesting. Number three is laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirmed for the previous nations, but didn't affirm nor deny. Didn't affirm nor deny for us. And there are a number of examples here. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Allah says, بعد رسول الله وكتبنا عليهم فيها أن النفس بالنفس والعين بالعين والأنف بالأنف والأذن بالأذن والسن بالسن والجروح قصاص. And we have ordained for them therein a life for a life, an eye for an eye, a nose for a nose, an ear for an ear, a tooth for a tooth, and for wounds is legal retribution. So this is something that Allah Ta'ala is confirming. This was, you know, and you can still find this verse, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, in the Old Testament. I probably should have added it there just for extra sake, but whatever. The point is that we know it's true because the Quran is saying this is what it was established in the past. Regardless of what the Bible says, we believe, we take the Quran as authoritative. If it's extra, good. If not, no problem. Anyhow, the point is what? That do we take this or not? So we're going to see exactly what the conclusion is by the end of a few more examples. Another example is dividing water. So the first one, as you saw, was from Musa alayhi salam. See, I wrote Musa, from Musa alayhi salam. Let's see from Salih alayhi salam. Dividing water for the animals, Allah Ta'ala says, وَنَبِّئْهُمْ أَنَّ الْمَاءَ قِسْمَةٌ بَيْنَهُمْ كُلُّ شِرْبٍ مُحْتَضَرٍ. And inform them that the water is shared between them each day of drink, attended by turn. So Salih alayhi salam miraculously was able to, by the permission of Allah, bring forth this pregnant she camel, and then it had a division. It would only drink on one day, and then everybody else's camels would drink on another day because they were too afraid to drink on the same day. So he created this division and, you know, trying to make it fair between everybody. Scholars say that we can apply this verse by dividing up different times for people to share a well so everybody profits. So it seems that we're following in that same, those same footsteps, and Allah knows best. Let's keep going. Another one, but it's not confirmed or denied, but this is what scholars say. And so you're going to see which way I'm leaning towards. It's that we can copy it if it's not specified, but let's keep going. Another one is from Yusuf alayhi salam, creating a cash prize for whoever finds something. You can do, like this is mentioned in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says in the story of Yusuf, قَالُوا نَفْقِدُ سُوَاعَ الْمَلِكِ وَلِمَنْ جَاءَ بِهِ حِمْلُ الْبَعِيرِ. They said, we are missing the measure of the king, or the cup of the king, some sort of chalice, and for he who produces it is the reward of a camel's load. So this is now, seems to be establishing a practice. Are we supposed to do this? Are we allowed to do this, to create a prize system? And so it's not affirming nor denying, it's just mentioned that Yusuf alayhi salam was okay with this. Another example is offering a service, like instead of cash, as a dowry. Again, going back to Musa alayhi salam and what people believe to be Shu'aib alayhi salam, his father-in-law. Shu'aib alayhi salam said what? قَالَ إِنِّي أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُنْكِحَكَ إِحْدَى ابْنَتَيَّ هَاتَيْنِ عَلَى أَنْ تَأْجُرَنِي ثَمَانِيَ حِجَجٍ. He said, indeed, I wish to wed you to one of these, of my two daughters, on the condition that you serve me for 8 years. But if you complete 10, it will be as a favor from you. So the Hanbalis use this verse as proof that a promise of service is permissible instead of is a permissible dowry instead of cash dowry. So this seems to be the case. So again, you guys are seeing which direction we're leaning in, which is that even if it's not specified, that it's for them and for us, the fact that it's in the Quran and Sunnah seems to indicate that it is for us as well, and Allah knows best. And number three, again, this topic of if it's not affirmed nor denied, the actions of the previous nations, it's the, what is the conclusion of all this? It's this category has a difference of opinion, but it seems that the majority is pretty straightforward. All the madhahib, every madhab says that we should take their law as our law, and they use their evidences, a number of evidences. Number one, that Allah affirmed it as guidance and didn't abrogate it, and therefore it applies. Just the very fact that Allah is mentioning it, or the Prophet ﷺ mentions it and doesn't abrogate it, seems to be a confirmation that it's good for us too. Point number two is what? Allah told us the following, Allah Ta'ala told us to follow their guidance. There's a number of ayat. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهُ. Those people before were the ones that Allah guided. فَبِهُدَاهُمْ اِقْتَدِهِ. So by their example, and so by their guidance, take an example, right? By their guidance, take an example. The fact that Allah says this seems like pretty straightforward evidence. Unless there is some clear evidence to contradict their, or to go against that Sharia, that Allah Ta'ala abrogated it. If that's not the case, then follow their guidance. Same thing with the ayah in which Allah Ta'ala says, ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنِ اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. Then we reveal to you, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to follow the religion of Ibrahim Alayhi Salam. So it seems default, follow along, unless it is specified differently. Same thing with the ayah in Surah Shura, ayah number 13. شَرَعَ لَكُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا وَصَّى بِهِ نُوحًا وَالَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ وَمَا وَصَّيْنَا بِهِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى. He has ordained for you of religion what he enjoined upon Nuh, and that which we have revealed to you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what we enjoined upon Ibrahim and Moses, Musa alayhi salam, and Isa alayhi salam. So you see, have all five, Ulul Azm, being mentioned in the same ayah, Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all five in this one verse. And by the way, to my knowledge, this is the only ayah in the Quran that explicitly mentions all five of the Ulul Azm. So it's a pretty incredible ayah, and it's saying that you, what you were revealed is, generally speaking, all the same, with minor adjustments, you know, for time periods. And same thing with fiqh, it always changes slightly depending on circumstances, and we'll talk about that more later, inshallah. And therefore, also another more affirmation of this fact is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was applying the instructions of past prophets. Look at this incredible hadith in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا رَقَدَ أَحَدُكُمْ عَنِ الصَّلَاةِ أَوْ غَفَلَ عَنْهَا فَلْيُصَلِّهَا إِذَا ذَكَرَهَا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. Very interesting hadith. When any of you omits the prayer due to sleep or he forgets, if you miss a salah basically, if you just simply miss your prayer, what should you do? He should observe it when he remembers it. The moment you remember, wake up, whatever, pray qada. Why? Because Allah has said, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي, observe the prayer for my remembrance. Why is this so interesting? Because he's quoting an ayah, which is in Surah Taha, ayah number 14. The fact that the Prophet ﷺ used a verse that was directed towards Musa alayhi salam, this particular ayah in context is being spoken to from Allah Ta'ala to Musa alayhi salam. So the fact that he's quoting it and saying, look, we take from that. So seems pretty straightforward, unless there's something specifying that you don't. The default is what? You take what was commanded to previous prophets. It shows that what was legislated to him is applicable to us as well, unless otherwise specified. We're winding down to the conclusion. Regarding people who have the oppositional view, are who? Only some of the Shafi'is, just a portion, not all of them, just a small portion of some of the Shawafi' and the Ash'aris and the Mu'tazila and the Shia object to these rulings. And what is their evidence? Their evidence is the fact that Allah Ta'ala mentions, and we have revealed to you, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the book in truth, confirming that which preceded it of the scripture and as a criterion over you. So judge between them by what Allah has revealed and do not follow their inclinations away from what has come to you of the truth. And then Allah says, لِكُلِّنْ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا. To each of you we prescribed a law and a method. So they're taking this ayah, which seems quite broad. It's not really going, I mean, they, in my opinion, they seem to be taking this, you know, somewhat broad statement and saying, oh, therefore each one of them was vastly different and there's no overlap, which I think is not the conclusion that you draw from this. Rather, I would stick with the author's conclusion, which is what? Wahab al-Zuhayli, we're covering his book, right? At the end of the day, this is his book. I'm just going over the notes. Wahab al-Zuhayli, rahimahullah, he says that he's more convinced that the old laws are abrogated because those which we follow are conveyed through the Qur'an and Sunnah, which means that they're being confirmed by the current Sharia or law. So simply put, if Allah Ta'ala mentioned something that Musa alayhi salam did, or Shu'aib alayhi salam did, or Salih alayhi salam did, or Yusuf alayhi salam did, if any of this is mentioned, and there is no specification that it has been abrogated, then the fact that it's mentioned in the Qur'an means that it is part of our Sharia. Why? Because that's recent wahi, that's recent revelation. If it was left in the past, if it was left in the old books that are no longer authentically preserved, then therefore we leave it back there. Apparently it is not applicable to us anymore. So even if you find it in the Torah, whatever remains of it, you know, in the Bible, the Injil, the Zabur, you would say, this is what it says. I don't know if it's authentic. And even if it is authentic, theoretically, which I could never know, I still can't conclude that therefore it applies to us today. That is not a hujjah upon us. So I hope that's clear. Jazakallah khair, and inshallah we'll see you next week. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.